You're listening to audio from the 2023 Liturgy Collective Conference, a gathering that fosters rest, connection, and growth for church musicians, pastors, and worshipers. For more information, visit liturgycollective.com.
All right, folks, we're going to start. You know, which of these things don't belong in this I'm not sure exactly how this AI and cultural mandate flows into the flow of, exile, beauty and exile. But thank you for coming. How many of you use AI regularly? Okay, so it looks like a quarter of the room. How many of you know what generative AI is? Okay, so half the room. Okay, so what I'd love to do, this is going to be hands-on. This is going to be fun. And we're going to see things that has never been done, ever. So this is quite the way to end your conference experience if this is your last event. And so let me first begin with a little bit of background on AI. I don't want to assume everyone knows AI. I want to just spend about maybe 7 minutes on that, and then I want to frame it biblically, and then we're going to dive most of our time into application. These two gentlemen, I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves in a moment. We're going to basically take some of the work that they're doing and see how a chatbot that I created especially for this occasion. There is a new chatbot called Litgobot. And we're going to be using Litgobot to help hopefully create some more time and space for all of you. So I'm going to dive right in. So what is generative AI? Well, something happened last year that caught the world's attention. Last March, a relatively small startup called OpenAI released a relatively unassuming technology into the public space. And it was a chatbot called ChatGPT. And ChatGPT took the world by storm. Many users who tried it found something very different from previous articulations or versions of AI. And what was particularly interesting about ChatGPT was its ability to hold very human-like conversations and discuss a wide variety of topics ranging from quantum physics to the ability to plan a birthday party for a 7-year-old. And to respond with a surprising level of creativity and nuance that was both delightful and a little bit unsettling to many. I mean, just think about a person that you can talk to that can both converse about quantum mechanics and also help plan a 7-year-old's birthday party. I mean, that's pretty special. And within 5 days, ChatGPT gained over 1 million users. Right, 5 days. Within 2 months, ChatGPT had amassed over 100 million users. Just to give you some context, I don't know if this is big enough. It took Netflix 3.5 years to get to 1 million users. ChatGPT did it in five days with zero marketing dollars. This is all viral. And then in 2 months, it reached 100 million users. Okay, so they were setting new definitions of what it means to go viral. But what was interesting is there was also some noticeable flaws, including its lack of basic common sense at times, a tendency to make things up, and often failing to recognize when they had no idea what it was really talking about. And so ChatGPT often generates very factual and insightful statements, but it can also hallucinate, and it does so confidently in ways that seem very plausible and leaves us with a tool that is both very powerful but also very unreliable and unpredictable. It is the equivalent of a college intern. Access to a lot of information, but just with questionable reliability. So here's an example. What is the world's record for crossing the English Channel entirely on foot? The world record for crossing the English Channel entirely on foot is held by, I don't even know if I can read that, Piotr Kordlior of Poland, who completed the crossing in 13 hours and 43 minutes on August 21, 2019. The English Channel is a body of water that separates England from France and is about 35 kilometers or 22 miles wide at its narrowest point. It is a popular route for swimmers, but crossing it entirely on foot is a much rarer feat. So, and just to, you know, just to give background, at its core, generative AI models are just designed to try and predict the next word in a sentence based on the training of massive amounts of data. And so one way of just, in a very simplistic way, understanding what these generative AI models are doing is it's just completing words, and it's giving you a range of the garden was full of beautiful, and then you'll see the likelihood of what comes next. And that, in a very simplistic form, is what ChatGPT is doing and other generative AI models. And so it is simply trying to predict the next word. And, you know, people might say, well, that's not intelligent. But what's been interesting is there are books now being written to help us understand how do we as human beings, how do we consider ourselves intelligent, and are we simply doing that? Are we actually making sentences as we go based on the context, reading things, and then my words come out in real time? And I think that's actually how I talk. People who know me like always ask, what did you say? And I can say, I never can repeat myself because once it's out, it's out. It wasn't necessarily this kind of... but I know not everyone operates that way, but these are examples of books that are exploring basically what is human intelligence and consciousness, and a lot of what AI is showing us is helping us understand our own processes. And AI is just doing everything right now. I like this one. AI can be your friend and an AI companion who cares. And what's been surprising is they have found AI to be more humane and sympathetic than a lot of human beings. And so the response is that, yeah, especially for people who are seeking medical care, we'll find that the AI bot has a much better bedside manner than a lot of doctors have, which is why people even are gravitating to it. And people are surprised by the humanity of the response. If you've never used it and you're struggling with a very human issue and you go to it as if you were talking to a friend, you might be surprised by the responses you get are actually much more thoughtful and heartwarming than a lot of, you know, warm-blooded people. And I think that you might say, this is ridiculous, but you won't really understand why people are gravitating to it, both young and old. So this is not just, you know, the younger generation being drawn to it. Older generations are as well. And you know, it's about to be, if I can quote the award-winning movie, what is it? Everything, Everywhere, and All at Once. It's coming to everything, right? It's coming to your email, your spreadsheets, your design tools, social media feeds, financial tools, educational software. AI is about to be everywhere. And it's not a matter of if, but when at this point, unless something dramatic happens and legislation begins to curb this kind of fast-moving train, AI will be a part of all of our lives, and in many respects is probably there already. But I want to be clear, too, no one knows that where these experiments will go. If anyone tells you this is the future of AI, you know, we don't know. It's just too new. But there are likely situations in which AI will fail miserably, and others that will surprise us, and we'll figure out actually AI is really good at certain things, even better so than we as humans. And the impact and implications of generative AI are pretty significant. And for me, it is important that we as stewards of this world, as people created in the image of God, understand how this technology can be deployed and how the scriptures begin to speak to us how we are to approach this technology, because there is, you know, a very significant doomsday scenario around AI to the other extreme, which is AI is going to save us of all the world's problems. So that is certainly the spectrum. And if you look at some of the data out there, right now it is very much a bell curve. People are squarely in the center, of either extreme, but there are strong proponents on both ends for sure. And you probably have heard some of those proponents on both sides. There was a recent study that was done in BCG, a global consulting firm, and I'm happy to show you. They have a long paper, but you know, in short, the people who use AI save a pretty significant amount of time, and the end results tend to be better quality, with some significant caveats. But I don't want to go into the details of this data, but just the graph shows you, I mean, you see just a quality improvement when you begin to use AI. This is some of the initial data that's coming from consultants who are using AI. And lastly, on the background side, you know, for those of you who'd like to get more information but don't know exactly where to go, this website by Vox, you can use the QR code, has a ton of great resources that will give you the whole spectrum of kind of your questions on AI. So this is a great resource for whatever questions, both in terms of the strengths, the weaknesses, how it works, potential dangers, potential uses. This website kind of has that all. So with this kind of societal background of where AI is, and just so that you know, anyone in this space knows how quickly this field is developing. Every day, if you get newsletters, you know, X company did this, and this company invested X, Y amount of billions of dollars. It is moving very quickly. But what I want to begin with now is just also, as Christians, how do we begin to frame this? And I want to start from the very beginning, going back to creation in Genesis 1, that God's first command to humanity is this cultural mandate. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And when we hear the word fill the earth and subdue it, it certainly includes procreation, but it's much more than just we as human beings multiplying ourselves. It is about cultivating the earth and creating both forms that allow for then flourishing to happen. And we see in Genesis 1, the days 1 through 6, that pattern that God sets for his people, that days 1 through 3 creates the form of light, the firmament, the dry lands, that so that days 4 through 6 can bring that filling. Light bearers, inhabitants, both birds and fish, and then land animals on dry land as well as human beings. And so God sets the pattern for humanity as to what he means by go and fill the earth. And this is part of the ongoing command that God gives, that the fruit of the work of our hands creates these kind of forms so that flourishing can happen. And I want to include technology into this frame, because a lot of times we put technology in a different category because it scares us. It scares us because of the potential of what it can do. But when we look back, all technology is an extension of God saying, I want you to fill this earth, and you have to subdue it. You have to take an ownership over the things you create so that it creates the kind of world that reflects who you are as people created in God's image. So I'm not going to go a lot more into that as much as to say that the cultural mandate, I think, is a highly needed doctrine to help us understand our responsibility in shaping this technology. And AI, probably more so than anything else, in a way, is such a great mirror to who we are. It will reflect back to us our own hearts. And I think that's what scares people. But the gospel says something very powerful to us, that God has taken out our hearts of stone and given us his very spirit, given us hearts of flesh, and his laws are now written on our hearts. And with that confidence, can we as Christians boldly enter into this space, this technological space, and allow ChatGPT and these other generative AI platforms to bring out the best of our humanity? Can it surprise us and remind us again of what it means to be human, to be kind towards one another, to be understanding and patient? In a strange way, can a robot or a machine teach us to be more human, especially in times when we're stressed and fear is driving us to the point where our humanity gets squeezed out and we turn to a technology like this and it reminds us again of what it means to be created in the image of God? That, I think, is the possibility of what generative AI presents to us. So with that background, it's time for the fun stuff. Before, I want to make this as interactive as possible. I know this is the last thing for the day. And so if you have any questions, I would love to hear them. And if I could just give you guys, I don't know the best I should have thought of. I might not answer your question, but I would love to hear it. Is that okay? Is that fair for me to say? Because I just want to be mindful of the time, but I also want to understand what questions people have. So if you have a question, feel free just to raise your hand. Because I would love to hear what your questions are as we move forward, okay? All right, so no hands are raised. I'm going to keep moving. Okay, one in the back.
You move from an academic setting where AI is obviously, honor issues, to social media where somebody might use AI to express their feelings. What counterfeit is there on people's parts to present that type of information as their own?
Thank you. Yeah. Again, I'm going to exercise. Again, I was very clear. I thought I'm just going to hear the questions. I'm not going to answer them. But yeah. No, I appreciate your question. This is a very good one. Anyone else? Just. I thought I was pretty clear, guys. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Your summer will be done about 10 minutes after this workshop is done. And we'll show you how. Now, we are going to dive into that because, yes. Yeah, I don't think you're alone, but for sure. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's the data. But even in our conversation this over lunch, I think a lot of people are in the middle. Like they just like kind of what they don't know what to think. You know, they could see the good, they could see the bad, but it's just a little overwhelming. So I'm just going to stay in the middle. So I think that's worth. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and that is a significant question and topic, and part of the reason why I'm not going to go there is because we would exhaust our time very quickly. It is definitely ethics, regulation. I mean, there are huge, huge questions, and so I want to be clear, this workshop is not about that. This is just, let's just take it one step at a time. What is generative AI? How do I begin to use it? And what might be some applications that I can really bring into my context so that I'm dipping my toe in the pool, not knowing how deep this pool gets and what animals might be in the pool. But I want to at least begin to know, how can I dip my foot in the pool and feel the waters a bit? All right, two more questions and we're going to get going because I want to make sure we see. Great question. I'm like breaking my own rules here. Yes. But part of why I want to answer that question is because this is what I said. I think minimally it will save you time so that you can birdwatch, so that you can slow down. I mean, this is weird. You'll use ChatGPT to slow your life down, not to accelerate it, right? So if human robots, can I just use that euphemism? Robots will help us become more human. ChatGPT allows us to become more human. All right, that's a little bit of the paradigm I'm hoping to establish here. It could do a lot more than time saving. It will provoke, I think at its best, it provokes creativity. Yeah, so I'll leave it at that. And then one last question. Yeah, well, that answer will be best answered by parents of college-age students. Yeah, you just don't recognize at this point, and that might not always be the case. As this develops, the information will, you know, potentially become more accurate and less hallucinogenic. But again, that's just the state of where things are right now. Yeah, but good question. Okay, now the fun part. So we're going to dive into use case applications here. And I'm going to now turn over to a platform that you can all just dive into called, the platform is called Poe, P-O-E as in Edgar Allan. And Poe is, this is just the application, but you can go to it. Poe is an aggregate of different bots out there. And I created a very special bot for this occasion, called the LitGo bot. And we're going to use this bot. And so, who wants to go first? Paul or Bruce?
Sure, I'll go first.
Paul, okay.
Yeah.
So, Paul, can you just introduce yourself so people have a sense of who you are? And then we're going to start in real time. We haven't rehearsed this. We talked about it. We have not fed it any data, asked any questions yet. So you guys will experience in real time how a person like Paul can interface with LitGo bot.
My name is Paul Ranheim. I'm a pastor planting a church out in Colorado, in Longmont, Colorado, and also a songwriter. And I've been involved in putting together worship services and leading various aspects of them for half my life now.
So can you just give us a scenario here of how you might want to use this in giving you a little bit more time? Or
well, the amazing thing is about a month ago, I was thinking, man, I would love to put together like a chatbot persona to see if I could take some of my historic like liturgy data that I've written and feed it all the songs from our congregation and to give me a draft, give me 90% of the way there. And if I could get it to like, if I were to say, hey, we're in the book of Exodus and this is the theme for this Sunday, could you put together, like fill in the blanks, here's kind of my typical order of worship, could it do like the first heavy lifting for me and save those first few hours of prepping a service? So that's like the thing that I'm curious about. I mentioned that to David and he's like, well, let's do it live. Let's just, all right, okay. let's have fun.
So Paul, can you talk about the file that you've created?
Yeah, so I sent David all my charts. It's a little outdated, but it's basically all the core charts from my library on my computer. I put them in PDF. I send them over to him. And then I have a spreadsheet of like assurances of pardon and calls to worship and you know, confession sins, all that stuff that I've used over the last few years, you know. And I put that in PDF and I send it over to him as well. So these are kind of regular things that I've used in worship over the past handful of years.
Okay. So here we are in LitGo bot, and then there's a little, you know, attachment icon. So I'm going to attach the file. Is that downloads? Yep. There you go. And then what question would you like to ask?
Are you going to upload both of them?
Or did I only saw one.
Just, you only saw one?
Yeah. Maybe we should have confirmed. But I got one file from you and three files from Bruce.
Oh, yeah. He sent one of mine.
Oh, yes. What's the second one?
It should, I think it's...
Oh, Binder 2?
Binder 2, yep.
Okay. So, all right. So Binder 2. Let me add that as well. And as I add it, Paul, you can start thinking about what is it you would like. Where is binder two?
There it is.
Down. There you are. Okay. So now let's start the conversation.
How big do you want to go? We want to try to plan a whole service or just do one little thing?
Let's do it, the whole thing.
All right. I mean, you could tell that we are in a series of acid to play on worship.
Okay. Let me start framing. So a lot of, we're going to ask, with this particular one, this is built off of Anthropic's Claude, which is different from OpenAI's ChatGPT, a different platform. So I'm going to say, imagine you are a worship pastor. And you are, what are you doing?
Planning a worship service.
Planning a, and what I'm doing here is the more information you give to the chatbot, the more it has context and the better the result will be. So you don't have to present like parse, like just something very like brief. You actually want to create a narrative because like stories, Claude in this case will have better understanding of what you want by presenting a narrative. Okay, that's why I'm starting with pretend or imagine you are a pastor. Oops. Okay. Planning a worship.
You can tell it that the church is going through the book of Exodus right now. And we're in Exodus 5 this week.
Okay. Yes, even better. Planning a Presbyterian liturgy. Is that what you want to say?
I'd say Sunday liturgy.
Sunday. Oops. On the book of Exodus 5. Which includes, what worship elements would you, service elements would you like to include?
If you want to just kind of go through it, the whole thing. Well, let's start with an opening song and a call to worship. We'll have a prayer of adoration. We'll have two songs of praise. And then we'll do a confession of sin and an assurance of pardon.
Oops. Confession.
Maybe a song of assurance after that.
A psalm?
Like a song. Another song. And...
closing prayer? Or you, what you'd like to do that extemporaneously?
Sure. We can do... I'm not going to have it write a sermon in here this time. Maybe we'll do a communion song and a closing song and a benediction.
Let's just go for the gusto here. Communion song. What else? I'm sorry.
Like a closing song and a benediction.
Oh no. A closing and benediction and closing prayer.
Love it.
Do you want it? Okay, we said Presbyterian, so I guess.
Well, maybe we should give it a theme.
Use these resources. Use these attached resources. To help you. Do you want to add a theme apart from Exodus 5?
Yeah, I do. The theme will be waiting on God amid our groaning.
Waiting on God.
Amid our groaning.
Our ruining?
Groaning. Oh. Groaning.
Okay, you guys ready? I have no idea what? Oh. Yeah. All right, guys, here goes. This is the end of our jobs. But this says, does this say waiting? It's hoping. It is praying. I should have used the paid version. did I hit retry? Okay, so I am going to use probably the free version here is, let me try it again. Yeah, that's a good question. Let me just check my. Yes, the internet is working. Otherwise, I'm going to just restart. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Oh, oh no. Okay. Shoot, I don't know, do we clap? Paul, what do you think? Is this going to save you some time? I will try. Let me see. Is that better? Okay. So you can see it's drawing from binder two there, your songs. Uh-huh. So I want to point out this, you know, you can restrict the data set. So if you want to pick songs from your the hymnody of your choice or the hymnal that you use, you could put the Trinity Hymnal or refer to the Trinity Hymnal website. It will only pull hymns from that. You could upload the BCO, make sure you're not in violation of anything. there's a whole host of stuff you can do. Whatever it's there, whatever text it has, it's reading. Paul, what are your thoughts here?
I think it's okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. What would you improve? This is part of it. So whatever you get, the first iteration, that's your first fat pass. It's your first draft. Based on the first draft, you keep working with it to say, I want you to beef up this. Tell me more about this. So this is giving you a first draft, and now you have to do multiple drafts to kind of get it to a place that's a bit more usable.
The confession of sin assurance is hard. It's very generic.
Very, yeah.
You're not following a good theme from Exodus chapter 5.
Okay, so that could be...
my thought exactly.
Rewrite the confession of sin, drawing from Exodus 5. And the insights of insights and the teachings. Oops, my keyboard. Oops. Let me just use that as an example.
We're getting closer.
You're getting closer? Okay.
That just saved me a half hour at least, an hour. Yeah.
Paul, anything else in this? Or are you satisfied with this?
I mean, could you rewrite it with a time of silent confession in the middle of it? Is that easy enough?
Can I even make it? Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Add to this prayer, add a listening. Oops. Component that allows time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so didn't add that much more except for that.
Yeah. Could you have it choose a another assurance of pardon that might fit with this rather than that more generic one?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the first part of that?
Could you have it choose a confession, an assurance of pardon in line with this, more thematically in line? Yes, Alex.
Did you already have this in the document?
No.
Did they pull this verbatim, or did
you? No, that it wrote it. Yep. Yep. And the teachings of John Calvin. Yeah.
Paul had referred. Thank you. I think what generative AI brings to us is the ability to amass, take in a lot of data. Now, it doesn't have the nuance of the Holy Spirit in the sense that a human being would have. And yet, we also know that God, his sovereignty, extends into things like technology. And so this is really new territory for us. But we can minimally say, I mean, at the end of the day, Paul, you are crafting this. You are using this as a tool. This is like, instead of going to the source book, the like different resources you would go to help you craft, you're using now an enhanced tool that does it a lot more quickly than you going to commentaries, extra-biblical like references, music helps. And it's doing that all for you in a very quick way. Okay. Thank you, Paul. I'm sure we could go a lot more and go deeper. So I'm going to create a new one. And Bruce, you're going to, can you introduce yourself and then, yeah.
Yep. Good early evening, everyone. My name is Bruce Benedict, chaplain at Hope College, which is a little Christian school in West Michigan. I want to shout out to ChatGPT, because I was trying to decide whether to come to this conference, and I asked it whether I should come or not, and it said, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So it's been a long journey with AI to this moment this afternoon. So we... St. David just like sort of like combined PDFs of like our song selections. So I'm not sure if it would read lyrics as well from lead sheets. Because we, what?
I was wondering that too.
Yeah.
The chords were in there. Or, yeah.
Did you send, because it was just charts, chord charts, right?
Yeah,
that's what I sent too. I pulled out all the lead sheets. So that's kind of interesting. So at Hope College, I helped to plan and lead about 160 worship services a year. We do 3 chapels a week and a Sunday evening service, and then lots of other different services along the way. So I could really use some help planning some services and picking songs. So let's see, this fall we are working through a series on the Apostles' Creed. So I thought, I'll make mine short because I think we're running, what time will we finish with this today? No idea.
5:30, we have 15 minutes.
Okay, sweet. I'll make mine short. So I'm looking for some worship song options that relate to the theme for this coming Sunday, which is He descended to hell and rose from the grave.
I'm just going to ask you to choose 5 songs on the theme of Christ. Was it ascension?
Yeah, Christ descending to hell
descending.
And rising on the third day. Yeah, it was a little tricky because from Hope, I have a pro version of Adobe, so I could easily kind of binder like my whole PDF collection into one PDF to email it in. Josh, I'll be looking for your thoughts on if these are good choices or not. One of my student leaders is here.
So one of the challenges of the free versions is you're kind of low on the priority queue. And so you can pay $20 a month, and then you have access to some of the more advanced. Okay, here we go.
Josh, you see any songs they're missing? That's not really like, those are like in our collection, but not ones that we do really regularly. So that's interesting. So it might say that we don't maybe have great songs in those categories. So it maybe might help us identify some holes in our song repertoire. What?
Okay. Let's do both.
Wait, so Josh, can you write a song by Sunday?
Can you find
on this one?
Okay.
Are there songs on this thing? All right, let's ask the bot to write
the song. See if we can find other songs that are already written.
Yep, Man of Sorrows would be good.
Would you like to write it in a particular style?
Let's. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, just have it read to him.
Write a hymn on this. Theme in the style of Isaac Watts. Is that right?
Yep, that's yeah, that's right. How many verses did we get? Yep, got that classic Revelation verse. Man, it's nailing it.
Yep, yeah, it's nailing it.
Yeah, a few clunky lines in there. Ascribing to the Son the strong, the victory all along. That's, I. You know what? I don't know. I've not seen anyone use that one. So songwriters, grab that.
Bruce, any other thoughts?
What else should we ask? Let's ask for a... Yeah, that was a question I had where someone that might have writing a prayer or writing a song with someone that has some mental or emotional difficulties. You could add a lot of things. If we had to, so right, a lot of times my students are just praying, just kind of spontaneous prayers, right, after a song is done. What kind of prayer would we want to specifically ask it to write to finish the song? If we had to have a transition prayer.
You want to emphasize any particular figure or theologian?
Let's just say, write a prayer that would follow this hymn as a transition into the sermon on this topic. It's a long transition. Can we shorten it in half? What do you think?
We can email this to you.
Dave, so does it keep all this text somewhere? Like,
yeah, it will save all of it.
Where does it save it? How could you?
It's internal. If you create an account on Poe,
it'll save
every time you log on until you delete it, it saves your entire history.
Okay.
And what is particular about these chatbots is you can see there's a memory. You don't. It's not starting new every time you add a chat, much like a conversation with a person. And that's one of the advantages, because as you keep asking questions, like with any good conversation, it should get a little richer. And so you want to have at least, you know, 5 iterations. If you're producing something, you want to have at least 5 iterations to get to the point where you think, man, this is kind of usable now. Because you're feeding it the things that would make it more usable to you. And you can see in the, just these, well, let's give our two brothers a round of applause. That it really does learn what it is you're trying to ask from it. And so what I love for us to be able to think about as the church, how do we begin to create communities that are learning alongside of this technology? And I use the example of using a laptop to be a doorstop. It certainly can do that, but it can do a lot more than that as well. And AI can do quite a bit that we don't even know yet. And that's the big mystery of it. And that's what also creates that doomsday scenario, as well as, you know, the world solving all the world's problems. And so how do we begin when you use it? I would like to also just say that I would love us not to think about using this in isolation, that this is a communal endeavor. It's what we learn from each other because, you know, we can now say things like this. How does a hymn like this change the human heart? How? So, yeah, meaning just a couple iterations, you know, like, I don't know, as you read this, how your own heart is responding to this. And you wonder, how did this get there? You know, and what is strangely encouraging to me is the data's out there. There's such good in the world, in a world that feels so dark. And when we begin to ask questions like this, how do we begin to understand the way that the Spirit of God uses technologies like this to really lead people to the gospel, especially when there is no one to communicate that gospel.
Where is that? I mean, it's definitely pulling from like an Orthodox background. Did you tell it that?
No. That's what's so intriguing. It is when it's looking at the vast amount of information out there, and I've done a lot of queries around theology, you know, hard theological questions, and it comes with, you know, I'm coming from more, I'd say, evangelical background, Presbyterian Reformed. It comes with, that passes my theological litmus test, right? And you can ask it not every time, but it often is very fair when it says there are divergent views on this. And so it's not going to convince you of something that is not, like, generally accepted. But you can just ask it very specific questions like, what is the role of Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews? And how does it help us understand the priesthood of Christ? That's a question I recently asked. And things like, it can answer with that level of specificity and not give you just like a random gobbledygook, which you might expect at that level of specificity. And so let me just close by saying, I shudder to say this, but things like small group materials, it can build them effortlessly on particular texts, on a passage, on a whole book of the Bible. If you want, you know, to create 5 questions based on this text over the course of 6 weeks, with opening and closing prayers, what's the word I'm looking for? Like Lectio Divina in the style of Ignatius of Loyola, or in the style of John Calvin, meshing together the theology of Loyola and Calvin, this is a real use. Give me a 10-minute listening prayer that incorporates the theology of Ignatius of Loyola and John Calvin. So if I'm in a setting which I know there are Catholics and Presbyterians, you know, wow, what a powerful tool. You know, and to say, help me, you know, and you could give it the specificity of saying, give me a 30-minute study. Give me a 5-minute study. And it will do that. So, you know, for those of you who are leading congregations who might not be in tune, you can create small group materials, you know, effortlessly. But in a way, and I hope you hear this right, I think this is a grace to free you up to be more human. Right? Not to worry about you losing your job, actually to make you more effective in your job. And all of a sudden, people don't realize, you know, what you are capable of doing because you are spending so much time doing X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, in the 5, 10, 20, 30% more time that you have, you're able to pray more. You're able to engage with God's Spirit and giving you wisdom and insight on applying this. And so I hope the framing of this leads away from fear and more towards this attitude of embrace because of what God is able to do with it. So if you have any questions, I am starting a course on this. For those of you who would like to kind of dive in a little bit more deeply, this is, if you want to try out the Litgo chat box, you can just use that QR code that will take you to. And basically what I used, then you'll be able to use right away. Again, this is based on Claude, but the free version. If you want a more sophisticated bot, you just have to pay the $20 a month. And if you are interested, there is a part of what I hope to do here is there is a course that I've developed if you want to go deeper into this. Use that QR code, and there's a discount for that. But I'd like to start beginning to think about how do we as Christians become more informed about how we approach AI from a Christian perspective. And part of what I hope to do here is to create those groups that continue to meet like once a month and share how you've been using AI so that we begin to develop a communal process around cultivating AI. And over time, I mean, this will take a long time, but if enough users are using AI asking these kind of questions, this is a long time. The data begins to be affected, right? I mean, and I know this is unrealistic at some point, but my hope is that there are millions of Christians who are using this technology in a way that actually begins to skew the data in terms of what is being kind of, populated out there. So that's just an unrealistic pipe dream, but that's what I hope. So thank you. Thank you to both of you, and thank you for coming.